Y'all, we made it! It is episode 2! I am so glad that you're here. If you're new, you're listening to the Reside Podcast. Hi, I'm Brooke, your host, and I'm so glad that you're here. We have such a fun episode today. I am talking to Bria Randall, the host of the Stories Podcast. Bria and I met through a mutual friend a couple of months ago back at Gather and Grow Conference. Then I shamelessly slid into her DMs, and the rest is history. On Bria's show, she shares everything from personal stories about the impacts of race in America to intersectionality. It's vulnerable. It's something that we can all learn from. It's just so, so good. And it's made personally such an impact on my life over the past few months. So definitely check it out if you have not yet. On this episode, she talks with me about how she's creating community through her podcast. She shares strategies for how to have meaningful conversations about hard topics. And she even talks a little bit about her crazy lady walks, which are so fun and something that she's been doing over the past year. My episode with her was so fun, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to it. So here is my conversation with Bria Randall.
Hey, Bria, welcome back to the show. I consider it a gift that I get to talk to you 2 weekends in a row.
So. Oh my gosh.
For everyone listening, yeah, this is our second time to record Bria's show because I'm an amateur podcaster and we had some technical difficulties, but Bria is so gracious with her time. So thanks for being on again. I'm excited to chat through everything and talk through some new stuff too. So thanks so much for being on, Bria. How's your week been?
Of course, it's been good. This last week with work was really intense, but that is okay. I'm really glad it's the weekend. And yeah, I think this time of year for work is just really busy usually. And so doing it remotely has been even crazier, but I've been good this weekend about not checking my email and just removing myself from it so that tomorrow it will be a little bit easier.
There you go. That's good. Yeah. And you are living in DC, but you're currently home right now.
Yeah, I've been kind of back and forth. I came home back in March and I was home for a few months. I probably went back in late June. Okay. And then I was in DC from June up until Thanksgiving, so the holidays, and I came back home. And then it's just been crazy with quarantine and stuff like that. So I've just been home since then and planning on going back to DC in the next couple of weeks. So.
Yay, that's awesome. Yeah. Are you looking forward to being back home, like in DC permanently? Or
yeah, I am.
You've enjoyed being at home though, right?
Like I have. It's been a mix of both. I think it's so wonderful to be at home. And I feel like when I was in DC before, there were just a lot of different stresses with COVID and things like that. And it's easier to kind of navigate, I think, everything that I'm doing from my house, like with my parents. But I love DC and I'm just excited to make it my home, my next home. I think I just need to wait until it's a little bit more normal and regular so that I can actually start that up again or just get invested again the way that I was before. But I've just felt a lot of peace about being at home in Alabama. So I've enjoyed it.
You were telling me a little bit about some of the practices that you've put into place while, you know, having to kind of slow down and be back at home and stuff like that. Will you kind of tell me a little bit more about what that's looked like for you and maybe some of the things that you want to carry back into like when you move back to DC and get started with the old routine?
I think something that I realized when I was in DC, when I first moved there, was that I would be doing things almost 24/7 to the point that I wasn't ever really resting. And I think that there's good and bad in that. I think it was great because I got to know a lot of different people. I got to have like that experience I'd been waiting on for so long to like live in a city and take the metro and go to dinner and do all these fun things. It was so great. But it got to a point, and it was funny because it came around the same time as COVID was happening, where I just realized I really wanted to figure out how to invest in a community where I didn't feel like I had to push myself so hard. And I was ready for just everything to be comfortable and not to be brand new all the time. And so then COVID happened. And so all of these things kind of came together at once. And I was able to go home and still talk to my good friends in DC. And we were able to have conversations that weren't, you know, based off of whatever was going on in the city or things like that. It was just based off of who we really were, which was great. So I want to keep up kind of those friendships and just like the way we build them. And then I know I talked about this last time, the episode that we missed, but I call them my crazy lady walk. So I go on walks like basically every day throughout the week. I do it like Monday through Friday. But it's basically just when I walk off any like steam or like energy that I have from work, because work is really intense. And so it's really important that I take like 30 minutes or an hour if I can do it to just like, you know, turn off my email notifications, put on like a podcast by anybody that does not have to do with work or anything. And I just walk. And I started those at the beginning of quarantine and I would FaceTime people and call people, but I kind of made my way through my contacts. So it got to a point where I was like, okay, now it's time to focus on myself. And so that's something that I want to take into, I don't know what it's going to be like when I'm back to going into work from 9 to 5, because it's a little bit harder, obviously, to walk around in business casual. But I think just understanding that it's important that I take time, whether it's in the morning or at night, where I'm not communicating externally and I'm just kind of focusing on my thoughts and how I felt about the day and things like that, at least once a day.
I love that. And since you told me about it, I have implemented the crazy lady walks into my own life.
They're so fun.
Yes, I did a good like 30-minute walk earlier this week when I got home from work and just like put in a podcast and walked around. And then another night I rode my bike and talked to a friend that I never get to see. And so I thought of you.
Be some days where I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to lay down and watch TV and like make popcorn. Like, I don't want to go on this walk. And I'd have to like peel myself. Like, I'd have to like, I'd be putting on my tennis shoes so slow and be like barely putting on my jacket because I didn't want to go. But as soon as you're out there and you're moving around, you're like, wait, I've got a lot of stuff I need to like walk through and I need to shake off, or I haven't talked to this friend in, you know, months and they just, you know, went through this huge life thing. So I should check in on them and see, and things that you wouldn't think about if you were busy like watching TV and eating popcorn, because like that's also a good form of focusing on yourself. It's just you miss stuff sometimes, I think, when you do that.
Absolutely. I find that when I do some of those different things during the week too, that I'm in a better mindset the next day. Like, I woke up just, my heart was so full the next day after like talking to a good friend or, you know, getting a good walk in. So I like that practice a lot. Well, Bria, tell us what you've been up to. So during the pandemic, you started something really fun and exciting. And so before we get into it, maybe you can just tell me a little bit about what it is and your heart behind it.
Yeah, I was able to start, you know, I started most of it and then actually put it out later on, but I was able to start a podcast, which has been really great. And a lot of it was because I've always been a big writer and I've always just kind of put out my emotions in writing. Never really sure what I was going to do with it. Like, there were a lot of failed blog attempts. There were a lot of like, you know, putting a bunch of documents together and being like, okay, I think I'm going to write a book, and then it's only 11 pages. And you're like, okay, maybe a pamphlet, you know what I mean? And I just really didn't know what to do. And it was weird. And it was like, it was personal. I couldn't really tell if I was journaling or if I was creating something. And that, looking back, I think it was both. Yeah. And so I sent all of these pieces, like a crazy person, to an author that I really admire. His name is Jedediah Jenkins. The way he writes is something that I'm not going to say I do the same thing, but it was the first time I've seen someone write in a way that I'm like, if I don't already do that, that's the way, that's what I'm trying to get at. You know what I mean? Right. Because a lot of his work, it doesn't always make a lot of sense, but he's just putting out his thoughts and they're so relatable and they're so well put that people pull whatever they want out of it. And so I was like, he's like figured it out. And so after like crazy DMs where I'm just like, you're amazing, blah, 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 I finally was just like, I'm just going to send you like, you know, I just want to send you some stuff. Like, obviously, if you don't respond, that's totally fine. But like, I don't know what to do with a lot of pieces that I've written. And I'm inspired by you. So is that okay? Which, like, saying it out loud, I'm like, oh my God, I was so crazy. And he was so kind. And he was like, I would love to. And he sent me his email. And so I was able to send him that stuff. And he didn't get back to me for, oh my God, I want to say like 3 weeks, or like a month or 2 months, which is funny because he just came out with the book. So he was obviously unbelievably busy. And then he finally did. And I don't think he'd been able to really get through all of it, but he talked to me about the power, because I told him I didn't know what to do with it. And he talked to me about the power of like audiobooks or like speaking what you're thinking and basically what I took from it was I was finally like, oh my gosh, I should do a podcast with this, which is funny because I'd always wanted to do a podcast. Like my dream job, aside from, I guess, doing what I'm doing now, is what Michael Barbaro does. He's the host of The Daily, which is a New York Times podcast. And they cover a different topic every day. It's the theme. I was like, I want to do that, but I don't have anything to say. Yeah. And so meanwhile, I have all this stuff written out the entire time. And so I really felt like that was a cool moment where the Lord was revealing to me that I had everything that I needed. It just wasn't the time yet to put it together because I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And so it was cool to see that revealed and to take my time with it and to think about what I wanted it to be. And some stuff, some parts of my creating are really impulse heavy. And it's just like, I feel something, so I do it and I push it out. And some things I like really think hard about and really sit on for a while, like I did with that first episode. So it's cool to do a little bit of both.
For everyone who hasn't listened to the Stories podcast, it is amazing. You're on your second season now. And you started out your first few episodes, like you said, with these stories that you had written and, you know, kind of looking for a place to put them. Your first episode, was it Your Hands Make Me look like a girl? Yes. That was such a raw and vulnerable story to share. So maybe you can just tell me a little bit about why you wanted to share that one first and what's been the response to from your community.
I think my main reason behind sharing that one first was like, if I'm going to do this, I've got to go, you know, head first. Like I've got to go really deep. And so the first time I wrote that out was when I was applying to law schools my senior year, which I didn't go, but I thought about it. And so I was working with this really incredible law school advisor at Auburn who I wrote what, you know, your personal statement for along with my applications for her to review. And the first one was so boring. I think I just said, you know, I've done X, Y, and Z, so I want to go to this school because of that. Told me that I needed to dig deeper and that this didn't make any sense. And that it was, she said, she just knew that there was more to it. And I still don't know, because I'd never talked about that experience ever until I wrote it down again. It just never came up. It never came out. I think it was one of those things you think about and you're just kind of like flinch and you just shake it off. But for some reason, I was like, I think this, and I still believe this, even though I'm not going to law school, I was like, I think what happened in that experience feeds into why I want to have a position that I can help other people. And I want to have a position where I can advise and where I can make changes, which I've learned you can do through more than going to law school. So anyone that's doing it, that's awesome. But anyone that's not, there's a lot of options. And I remember my law school advisor reading it and I'm watching her read it and I'm uncomfortable because it's a very personal story. And she is just like stunned by it and by the writing of it. And I think it was the first time that I realized maybe I'm okay at what I'm like, maybe what I'm doing, this is what I'm supposed to do. I recorded it as a podcast episode and I listened back and it was so, and this is years later, right? It's like a year later. And it was so cool to hear it out loud and it wasn't painful anymore. And it was like, I think a sense of therapy for me to talk it out and to think through it and to apply it. It just seemed right. I'd like talk to a sorority chapter. I do that sometimes. And I did it. And after the conversation I had with them where I touched on topics similar to it, I was so stimulated by them and they were asking amazing questions and it was so fun. And I was so just like, you know, I want to put my thoughts out there and I want to help people and I want to be like active in the conversations I'm trying to have. And so I put it out and it was great. Yeah. And I like launched it and I didn't tell anybody. I think I told like one person here and there, like out of my close friends, like for a week. And I was like, now I'm not ready to launch this. But if you look at my name, there's a podcast. Don't freak out. No one's taking my identity. And then the reception was great. It was a lot of people were either they really understood it in a sense that they'd been through an exact similar situation, just like obviously different examples, their own story, but the feelings I was saying, they knew.
Yeah.
Or people had witnessed something like that and they didn't understand how much it could have impacted the person that was going through that situation. Mm. Or people had never heard of anything like it and they thought it was like the most grotesque, awful thing they've ever heard. Mm. And they were able to see, you know, how stories like that can transition and how things like that happen all the time. You know, maybe they just weren't aware to it or they had kind of a fog in front of them and they missed it.
Yeah.
And so that was really powerful to get that kind of reception and it was exciting.
It's been cool to listen to your stories, but then you've also kind of evolved into doing some conversations, having some guests on the show to talk about some hard things. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate you just taking a step into that space and creating really the space to have those conversations. In one of your episodes, you talk about active love. And then in your most recent episode, Uncomfortable Conversations with Bria, you talk about having those conversations, right? Yeah. And ultimately what empathy looks like. And something that you said was a lot of people come with open arms, open hands, but empty knowledge, and that empathy is a two-way street. Can you maybe describe a little more what you mean by that? Yeah. Especially in the context of having difficult conversations around race and coming, you know, into the conversation seeking to be empathetic.
Definitely. I think I love doing both of those episodes. And I think what I mean by that is just that it's really difficult to explain an entire experience or an entire life to someone mm-hmm. when they don't really have anything to bring to the conversation. So it's like, if I were to meet up with somebody to talk to them about, I'm trying to think of a hobby like I have that's not podcasting. If I were to meet up with somebody to talk to them about coffee,
there you go.
And I wanted to talk to them about iced lattes versus regular lattes and all these things, it wouldn't make any sense if someone were to come to that conversation with me and they didn't drink coffee and they didn't know anything yeah. about it. Because you won't understand it unless you've like looked some stuff up or right. like done research or tried different coffees or something like that. Because of that, I wouldn't want to join in on the conversation because you don't have anything to give. Right. And so it's just like, it's like, if I want to do that, then I'd rather talk to 20 people and give them, you know, say something to them and not have it be a back and forth, just me explaining something to them and then answering questions, as opposed right. to doing this one-off thing where you're having to inform people back to back. And yeah. and not because that's the wrong way to go about things. It's just very exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I think I've just gotten to a point where I've realized that it's not my job solely to educate everybody on everything. Yeah. I want to play my part and I want to do my role and I want to help people as much as I can, but only to a point where it's still healthy for me. Because I think it got to a point where I was kind of sacrificing myself for other people to feel understood and heard. And I think that, you know, to a point that that's honorable and a good thing, but it was becoming something I resented. And it wasn't giving me anything. It wasn't giving the people. I don't even think what I was sharing was helpful at that point. Right. And so now I'm at a space where it's like, if someone is wanting to have a conversation about anything, about race, about being a woman, about literally a job, anything, I'll yeah. say, okay, here are some resources. If you don't already know what you're going to talk about, looking forward to having a conversation based off this. And, you know, if they don't want to put in the work and have the conversation, then like, it's not going to happen. But I haven't ran into anyone that has chosen ignorance because I don't think that's like people's nature, which I love.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what I meant by that, just in the sense of like coming to a conversation with something to give or something to have an opinion on, whether I agree or don't, just because it's easier that way. And it's more fruitful that way too, because you're actually learning instead of just, you know, getting lectured at or, you know, whatever.
I think that's awesome. And like you said, doing your own research and having your own stake in the conversation, I feel like, I mean, it creates ownership of the conversation and not just expecting to be fed. And it's good that you are taking your like care of yourself in that way too. And not just,
for sure.
We talked a little bit about what you were hoping to do with the Stories podcast when you first put it out there. And if I remember correctly, you were telling me that at first you were really just hoping to create a space for people who shared similar stories or experiences to be able to relate and say, hey, I've been there. Well, first of all, have you seen kind of the community around who's been listening to your podcast evolve, and what has that been like?
I think that when I started the podcast, I kind of knew who I wanted to listen, but I didn't really have a full grasp on it. And that has to do with like even little things. So the topics that I'm discussing, like the words I'm using. And so in some ways, I do have to tailor it just to what I would think, what is most comfortable to listen to, right?
Right.
And that's something that I'm still figuring out. But I think when I started it, I knew a lot of women were going to listen to it, right? Like I knew if I was going to have any base, it would be women. And so it definitely angled that way. Something else I know about myself is that I'm not really like a guy's girl. Like somehow I've got really awesome guy friends who appreciate me anyway and like listen to me talk about the most girly things ever. But what I knew when I made this podcast, I was like, I don't necessarily know how to reach men in right. a way that is fruitful, or at least I didn't think that I did. But, you know, alternatively, I've had really wonderful feedback from men that know me really well, that don't know me at all, that have reached out and said how impactful the podcast has been for them. And that is one of the biggest compliments I can receive right now, because I don't even know how I'm doing it or what I'm doing that's making it reach. But I'm so glad that they're able to pick it up too, because I think it's important that they're listening. And I'm just so proud of them for listening and for trying to take it in. And I think for some it's easier than for others, but it's just such an honor to be able to reach them too, because it's definitely something that I wanted to do. I think I just didn't think that I could. The other day I got a message that a woman had been playing it for her kids on the way to school. And part of me was like, ooh, maybe not everyone listen to them first, you know what I mean? But it was just so amazing, because I never considered kids. Like, I considered like maybe young girls, maybe middle school, maybe high school, but I never prepared for like young children to be listening to it. And so to know that a parent is like trusting enough to just hit play and let them listen to things that are uncomfortable, and that, you know, probably kids aren't like, mom, please don't put this on. It's like making me feel weird. And so that was another kind of cool thing to witness, in that there's not really any limits to it unless I force them. And so I'm just still in that stage of just, there's no limits. I want a middle school girl to be able to listen to this in the same way that like a 40-year-old man could, or in that a 50-year-old woman could, you know? And so it's tricky, because I also want to be myself throughout it all. And I don't want to seem like I'm trying to project anything that I'm not. Right. So it's a balance of being completely honest while also knowing that I'm not making this so that I can listen back to it and end my day. Like, I'm making this so that other people can listen to it. So I want to be able to respect as many people as I can in that way, but not change what it is at all.
And it's cool to see how even just like staying true to yourself and putting out fully authentically you, you know, like you said, you never thought that you would be reaching men or like young kids or anything like that. So that's just really special. Bria, so the podcast is all about creating community. How do you see kind of moving forward your podcast and what you're doing with the stories? How are you using that to cultivate community?
Oh, that's such a good question. I'm honestly still figuring it out. I think there's a level to it where I want it to be something that people can use to answer their questions or answer other people's questions, but I want to create a resource for people to use. And I want it to be a platform for other people to use to get their ideas across. So for example, my episode, it's Understanding Intersectionality with John Otis Blanding, who is one of my incredible friends from Auburn and probably forever. And I got to have him and his partner on there. And it was one of the first times where they, you know, they're two of the smartest men I've ever met too. And so part of me was being very selfish, in that I was like, this is going to be good. Like, I don't even know what they're going to say. Like, they're about to use words I've never even heard of. But for them, and what they said to me later was that it gave them the opportunity, like, they could both have their own podcast if they wanted them. They had the opportunity to really say what they're thinking and articulate it in such a beautiful way, where they can now send that link to their family members, to their friends, who, like, to anybody that maybe doesn't fully understand who they are, anyone who doesn't know what John does for a living, anyone who is like trying to understand them. And so it felt really incredible to step off of the platform and to let them in and to let them lead the conversation. But it's cool to help other people have a platform where they can say what they want and then they can be done, right? It's one episode and that's it. And so it's transactional in a way that I think is really empowering and awesome. So I think that that's another way of just influencing community and letting other people kind of take center stage and share what they have to give. I think I'm still figuring out, like, what is this doing? Like, how is this building community? And I think I'm hoping that it's just making people more comfortable to talk and to enter into conversations and to have a resource to use to within their own communities or to form new ones. So
I think you're doing just that. And it's been really neat to see. I personally have learned a ton from listening to your show. So I am appreciative of you. Last question, but I'm curious, you've been so instrumental in putting out things that people can learn from and conversations that people can use in their own lives. Is there anything that you have learned either like about yourself or just in general through creating this?
Yeah, I think I've learned that I really like to put out things that are not perfect, but that are, you know, fully transparent and really excellent in a way that, like, I know what I'm saying is honest, and I know that it's good, and I know that it's going to reach someone, instead of just like throwing out random things and hoping that they bite. And so something I've learned about myself too, though, is that I love routine, and I love when an episode comes out on a Sunday night, like, I don't know if people ever understand this, but I am like so happy. I'm like, the timing is perfect, the algorithm is perfect. Everything is good. That's changed a little bit with this season. And I was talking to one of my friends about this. I was like, it just kills me that I don't have an episode every week right now. And it kills me that, like, I feel like when I was talking to her, I felt like I was running out of content. I was like, what do I do? She said, you know, Adele doesn't come out with an album every year. Like, it'll take her like 4 or 5 years to come out with something, or like Rihanna, or like people like that. And she was like, now I'm keeping you humble, you're not there, but she was like, it's really good to wait until some people just need to wait until they know something is good. For some people, that means like every single week or every other day, they've got something good to put out. And for some people, it might mean some months it's every week. Sometimes it's once a month. It just kind of depends. And so I think what I've learned about myself is that I need to format a routine that is beneficial, and I need to like give myself grace, and because I've seen what happens when I create an episode that I really love and put out an episode that I'm really proud of. And I've seen what happens when I put out an episode where I'm like, I don't even know why did I push myself for that one? And I much prefer the first feeling. And it might mean that it, you know, episodes come out on Mondays or like, you know, a week late or things like that. But it's way, way more awesome to be proud of something. And I can see that in the reception, and I can see that in the way people take the episodes. And like, I know I'm right, because I know what's good, and I know what's not true, and I know what's not fruitful or natural or organic.
Yeah, totally. Channel your inner Adele.
I know. That's what I think about. Since she said that, I think about that all the time. I'm like, you're so right. Like, when did the last Adele album even come out?
Honestly.
And it's not like she'll come back and everyone will be like, who is this? But like, everyone will kind of be like, okay, girl, where have you been? And so maybe not as extreme as Adele, but, you know, just in the sense of like,
happy medium. Like, somewhere in between Taylor Swift and Adele.
Or like somewhere in between like Ariana Grande in 2019 and Adele.
Okay.
Who Ariana Grande came out with like a new album every week. And I was like, this is too much. But it was all good. It was all amazing work, you know? So
I love it. Bria, thanks so much for being on the show for the second week in a row.
I mean, everything tried to get in our way.
It didn't stop us.
No, not even close.
Thanks so much for your voice and for the space that you're creating. I appreciate you. And it's been awesome just to get to know you a little better.
Conversation.
So thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, come on. I think we can all agree that Bria is a trailblazer. She is absolutely amazing in paving the way for having hard conversations, and I hope that she inspired you to do the same. If you don't know where to start with her podcast, The Stories Podcast. It's an excellent resource. I personally have learned so much from it over the past few months. Definitely check it out. I will link all of her things and things that she's doing over on the Reside Podcast Instagram page at Reside Podcast, so definitely check it out. Hey, thanks for listening to the second episode of the Reside Podcast. As we're talking about cultivating community, consider you a part of the Reside community. If you are loving the show, definitely share it with a friend so that they can love it too. I'm releasing a new show every other week, so we will be right back here on March 30th, that's 2 weeks from today, with my good friend and mentor, Michelle Dawson. She's amazing, and I know that you guys are going to love my conversation with her. That's all that I have for y'all today. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll be back here on March 30th. Ta-ta!